los ojos para ver lo que
está. Vamos, put up your manos. Members of Tempting, United, Chicanos, Latinos en los Estados Unidos, don't care if you're Ricans or even Cubanos. Look at our coaches. We have more common, don't let them divide. These suckers are vultures. Either we standing together or better be standing aside. Now is the time, don't know about you, but I'm gonna ride. We gotta climb, fight for your veins, man, where was your pride? Where were the gunners that you got inside? Look how our ancestors came to this country. They tried to be living the American dream. Don't throw it away, they promise you money and got you raging for the machine. Pick a new team, you flesh up to lizard, but that is a system that you wanna bring. You need to think, we gotta fight communism, cause it look like we on the brink. Connect all the links, a one party system is taking the power from all of the people. We need to see, whom are you listening? These people are evil and won't see the sequel. So what is your plan? Hand in hand, we're standing together, cause it's the one never to do what you can. Please understand, we gotta do better, so walk us, remember that we took a stand. Escúchame, 24 es el año, si se puede. Lucha, lucha por la libertad.
Órale, vamos.
Yo, everybody, what's up? Welcome back to Latino Free Minds, episode number 65, and we are continuing with the Know Your Candidate series. And on this episode, we have Ron Skulsdang, who is running for mayor of the city of Irvine here in California. Ron, thank you for coming on. How you doing, man?
Oh, wonderful. Life is great. I just got done teaching a class over here in Irvine, the Dream Gym. Always wanted to have one, and now we're about to. So just training some friends and family. We had like 12 people show up, and they all died. And so now we're going to hop on in and converse with some great gentlemen.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I told you, next time I'm down in SoCal and Irvine, I'm going to swing by.
Dude, you should check it out because it's really cool.
Yeah.
We built everything from scratch.
Nice, man. Now, I go to the Mayweather gym out here.
Oh, very cool.
Here in Fresno. So I don't know. I've always liked boxing, just kind of hitting the bag. It's mm-hmm. always been kind of something that I like to do. So yeah, dude, it's one of those. It just feels good, I guess. Is yeah. the best way to put it.
I've been in combat sports for over 20 years, and I don't think I can ever live without it. I try to retire multiple times, and I always come back. Always come back to the one I love.
Yeah, yeah. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Just wrapped up with work, kind of rushing in, but glad I made it on time.
Yeah, work.
I was doing what Ron was doing, you know,
working out.
Working out. You know, teaching a class and stuff like that. Like you said before, the podcast is doing what you love. I think
yeah,
that's what everybody strives for, I guess, in a way, you know, to do what they love every day.
I'm very blessed and fortunate.
Yeah.
So I found you guys through my buddy Matt Kim. So he linked us up.
Yeah.
And then I randomly met Matt Kim on another podcast a couple of months ago. And then I was like, oh, Matt Kim, you're that Matt Kim. Very cool. And then he linked me up with you guys. Like, you should head on this podcast. I was like, okay, I'm down. Shoot. And then here I am.
Yeah. I believe he was in California a couple months ago. Right. And, And he was like, yeah, he's like, no, I met this guy named Ron. He's like, you guys should reach out to him. So, yeah, he kind of.
Yeah, started this whole thing.
Yeah. So shout out, Matt. Thank you for linking us up here.
Yes, sir.
Matt's been blowing up, dude. Matt has.
He blew up like a snowball. Like, just.
It's crazy. It's crazy how. I remember his streams now get into thousands. I think a couple weeks ago. He had a stream on X and it got to like 30,000 viewers. That's crazy. It's cool. I think he met Trump already, which is awesome.
The epitome of organically growing viral.
Yeah, dude. So shout out to Matt. You know, he hopefully keeps doing what he's doing. And
super happy for him.
Yeah, happy for him for sure. So tell the people a little about yourself, a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into Irvine and everything.
Irvine. So my name is Ron Skulsdang. I've been living in Irvine, California for over 8 years now. I love this city. I love my community. I love my peoples. I've been doing community service primarily for the past 21 years. I started a nonprofit called Seniors Fight Back. We provide self-defense resources and workshops to the elderly, the AAPI community, and beyond. Just last year, we finally started teaching out of state. that we had our first class in Pittsburgh at a university called Carnegie Mellon. It was a really cool tech school. And it was really cool to be able to get that experience. We won Nonprofit of the Year in 2022 now. So that was a really cool honor. We got nominated by Assemblymember Philip Chen over here in California. And as far as other stuff, personal stuff, family man, I love my family. If I'm not working, I'm with my family. If I'm not with my family, I'm training for a fight or training other people that want to fight. I got a bunch of businesses. I've got a gym coming up right now in Irvine. I've got a crowd therapy salon in Santa Ana called CryoSpot. I've got a towing company called KO Towing, super random. I've got a combat sports accessory company called Lace and Loop. We invented a device where you could lace up your own boxing glove by yourself. You don't need a coach to help you out. You can do it yourself. It's a pretty cool invention. And you know you're doing good when people are copying you. So we ended up having like 8 replicas come out on the market, and we have a good legal team. So we sent out cease and desist to everybody, and we stopped it. One brand was a big brand. I think they had like 70, 80,000 units, and now they have to sit on it in their warehouse because they need an illegal product because they copied our product way too close.
Wow.
The beauty of trademark laws. But you got to protect the stuff that you invent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm a professional athlete too as well, not just community service, but I've been doing MMA, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, Muay Thai for over 20 years in alignment with community service. I became a WCK world champion in Muay Thai, still am. I'm also the current WBC national champion, those green belts that you see in Muay Thai too as well. And then I was supposed to defend my world title 2 weeks ago, but I tore my MCL. But it's okay. It's a grade 2. I couldn't walk for about 2 weeks, but I didn't need surgery, so that's a huge plus. But I'm moving around now, so I'll be planning to defend my title in Vegas later this year against it was supposed to be against one of the top contenders in Mexico, but we'll see if it's the same person. I hope it is. I owe him a title shot. So if he's listening, my apologies for not being able to fight you a couple weeks ago.
Damn,
Ron, you've got a lot going on. How do you do it?
I have a great support system. I have an obsessive drive to get things done. I have a bunch of other businesses, but I offloaded them to the leaders and the management to take over so I wouldn't have to handle the operations. But I've learned how to build systems, build teams, so that I don't have to be in there day to day. I can just kind of oversee and essentially just consult. So I'm really fortunate to be able to have a team that has taught me how to do such things. And with that same team and support.
At a young age, or is that something?
As far as mentors, yeah, I've been really fortunate to have a really great group. I have like 7 mentors in each thing that I want to learn in life, and they all excel in different areas of lives. And they taught me pretty much how to be and who I am, you know, outside of, you know, believing in God. And they help shape me to who I am today and what I do today. So really fortunate for that. And that's how I ended up getting into politics somehow. it was an extension, you know, I thought it was just an extension of community service. You know, I think like most people think of politics as they think of tow truck drivers, you know, sleazy people that will take your things and not give you anything in return. But you know, just like in towing, you know, there's a positive side to helping the lives of others. And what I found in a peer political world, a peer politician is there for civic duty and to help and improve their community. And which is why I got into it, or why I am elbow deep into it now.
Yeah.
No, but you know, that's a great point, because that's the perception that people have, and that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be public service. So it takes people with that type of drive that you have, and you know, being genuine and wanting to serve, you know, the community, and changing that perspective back, and hopefully bringing that enthusiasm in other people to also do it. So
yes. Once
you hand off the torch, you hand it off to you know, to people that are like-minded and have that drive, and you've given a little bit of wind under their wings in order to take over.
Yeah, I mean, that's, dude, I think we are on the same exact page. I don't want to do this For me, I want to do this to show that any other normal person with zero experience in politics can go in and make a change. If you want to make a change, you've got to make it from within your government. You know, I've been able to help thousands of people through community service, you know, self-defense workshop, helping others, listening to others, you know, contributing to others. But to really make a difference, to affect hundreds of thousands of people, I've got to be able to do it within our own government. And so if I'm going to do that, I need to become mayor of Irvine. And so that's the next step.
How has the whole campaign been like as far as the support, the feedback you're getting from the people? How has that been?
It's been amazing. I've been having much more positive feedback than I expected. You know, before I made the commitment to jump in with the team, we expected people to be, you know, harping on me about issues, views that they don't agree with, the potential threats and danger to myself and my family and my businesses and whatnot. And thus far, everybody has welcomed me in with open arms. The community, people from different political parties, no political parties, and all of that. Everybody's been, and I have to not be naive too as well. I have to be real. Why is everybody so nice to me? You know, well, one, I'm not mean to anybody. So it's kind of hard to be mean to me if I'm being nice to you, especially if I'm genuinely being nice to you. But number two, I do understand that maybe they want to find out what's going on. Am I a viable contender in this race? How far am I going to go? Am I an ally? Can they use me? Am I a potential competitor? So I'm not naive to that. I understand. I'm in the fight game. I'm in the business game, and I understand the concept of competition, you know, and I know that, you know, some of these other politicians out there are doing this as a career. I'm doing this purely for community service. So I have no fear coming into this. I come in here genuinely to help and improve our world in whatever capacity that I can and my team. So, and I'm not scared of anybody. I mean, I hit people for a living. And so, yeah. And there's a lot of trash talking in the fight world. So, I don't care what they say, what kind of dirt they dig on me, whatnot. I have heard it. I have seen it all. I felt it all. And my family is just as tough. My wife and my kid, my dog, we can handle it. So whatever may come, we are more than mentally prepared and physically and emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say you have to be mentally prepared. And as a fighter, professional fighter, I'm pretty sure anybody that's ever competed, it's a tough mental game aside, you know, from the physical. So I think you have a huge advantage on, you know, newcomers that are coming onto the scene, because I don't think they understand how mentally tough you have to be in order to, you know, be in that arena that you're stepping in right now.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that people tell me, especially people that are in the industry, are like, what makes you think you can skip maybe a local utility board, education board, even city council, and go straight to mayor? What makes you think you can go for a position that requires you to win citywide with over 300,000 residents against people that have been in that seat before in the industry for years? What makes you think, what gives you the gall to do such a thing? And for me, it's, I know my worth. I know my value. For me, it's not the name. It's not the status. It's the role. What is the role of a mayor but to be the face of a city? I'm a face of every business that I'm a part in. I'm in the face of every team that I'm a part of. I'm a great communicator. I'm great with relationships. And all I want to do is communicate the right message to our citizens. And I want to build the right relationships with our people within it. And that job is for the mayor. As a city council, of course I can help. But I'm not going to be able to be the face. I'm not going to be able to communicate as well. I'm not going to be able to get the message out there that I want to. I want to be able to represent my city in the best possible light. And I believe I can do that. And I have the resources. I have the drive. I have the obsession to do such a thing. And that's why I had the gall and the nerve, from what people may say, to do such a thing. And I truly believe that I can win this. I truly believe that our team can win this. My team believes it. And so if I believe in it, my team believes in it, there's no reason why it can't happen.
Yeah, I'm a big believer of what you just did right now. A lot of the times, you know, you run as an individual, but there is a team behind, you know, a person. And what you just said right now is, you know, we can win. You know, the team can win. That's huge. And, you know, we've been talking about, you know, all of the genuine candidates that we have met out there, and we haven't had to sell or, you know, serve someone up or anything like that. Just by them speaking, you can tell that they are genuine. And I think that's a big key, is that when you're communicating, you can tell that you're very genuine in your message and what you want to do.
It makes it easier. If you don't have to beat around the bush or have hidden agendas or anything like that, it's easier just to be upfront and truthful, whether it be offensive or not, right? Luckily, I'm a little less on the offensive side, so I think it's a little easier for people to talk to me. But I keep it easy by just speaking my mind, speaking my heart. And so as long as I don't have anything to hide, I have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best thing, right? Someone could be is just be themselves. And, you know, especially when you're trying to get people, right, to vote for you. It's like, you know, a lot of these politicians we've seen that have been there for a long time, we say career politicians, it's like, you know, we don't relate to them. You know, they're not genuine. We don't hear from them. We just see them when they're on the TV and all that. So kind of part of doing what we're doing with, like, speaking to candidates, it's just so people can hear directly from them, right? To kind of get a sense of the person. Like Danny said, like in a lot of the people we've talked to, it's just been like, yeah, you can tell they're in it for the right reasons, right? They, you know, they're either fed up with what's been going on, or just it's time for change, because you get the same thing over and over and over. It's kind of like the definition of insanity, right? Where you do the same thing over and over and expect different results. That's kind of where we are with a lot of politics. We keep doing the same thing, especially as a state. I'll talk about California as a state. We keep doing the same thing and not seeing any improvement, but we expect it somehow.
It's tough. That's when life doesn't meet your expectations. And that's when you start getting upset, resentful, sad, depressed. You start giving up. So it's important to make sure that your life meets your expectations, whatever those expectations may be. But I also want to put out there that is not cumulative of all career politicians. I've met a decent amount of politicians that I feel are on the same wavelength, the same level of values, and the same vision as I. And so I just wanted to say, I don't think it's all politicians. I think it's only like 90%. But the 10% out there.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
pretty true to their heart, which is pretty cool.
For sure.
No, we agree. The thing is this, is that those, you know, garner the most attention. And that's, you know, kind of what the consensus is, you know, amongst the public is, you know, that they're out of touch and they have different agendas, you know, not necessarily representing the people. But yeah, we agree with you. There's a lot of genuine politicians out there that are trying to do the right thing. But here we are, you know, we're trying to tip that balance and bring it back in. So, you know, going back to the original point of why you're running.
Yep. And I understand the difficulty of why people don't want to get into politics. One is the fear of defamation and danger to their family, their livelihood, all that stuff. Number two is a lot of people don't even know how to get started. You know, community service is a easier entryway. You know, because you can make a phone call, you can Google, but you don't really get too much information. You can Google how to be a politician, and it's very vague, because I did that. I Googled how to be a politician. Didn't give me too much information. I had to literally make phone calls everywhere to get connected to the right people and the right parties to guide me in the right direction and get the right advice to even just get to where I am right now, which is like super early. But I've built a ton of relationships since then. And the filing hasn't even begun yet. I'm not even allowed to officially file for mayor. I just been doing a lot of background work and early preparation. Cause why do I need to start when everybody else starts? I'm going to start ahead of time, way ahead of time. But also the biggest thing too, is when you're going against people that are veterans, they have so much history. They have so much brand recognition that people almost see that name and they'll vote for it just because they're familiar with it. Even if they feel like they're not doing a great job, you know, and that's going to be tough. And then there's this whole having to pick a political party thing. That's tough too. In this space, I'm finding that a lot of people are pressuring me to join a political party. And if I don't, essentially what I'm being told is, you don't join a political party, you have zero chance of winning anything. So there's no choice of being an independent. And I'm like, we will see. You know, I don't like choosing parties, but I love working with everybody. For me, it doesn't matter if you are Democrat, Republican, whatever. As long as we're on the same page and we're trying to work together to make the world a better place, I'm for it. You know, I love people. I'm a businessman, and I love both. And stereotypically, conservatives are pro-business, anti-people, right? And and super Democratic liberal is very pro-people, very anti-business. I don't see a reason why they can't be balanced of the two, because we need to make the majority happy. We can't make every individual happy, but we can make the majority happy. And that's what I'm about, is helping the majority.
Whatever that majority may be. And that's what we always talk about too, is that we don't have to be aligned on every single, you know, aspect or point. But the bigger picture is what you said, is being able to work with people, having that communication, open communication, and coming to an agreement and a resolution so that both or all parties are happy, you know?
Yeah. So, you know,
please. Oh, go ahead.
I've been blessed and grateful that they help out individuals, even teaching, you know, with my nonprofit, we've taught over 6,000 students now. I've been able to help people individually. But the next step now is to scale that. And now I want to be able to help our world, our community as a whole. And so I'm going to be going not just after individuals, but cities. You know, imagine if I can, like, my big weird thing right now is, it's not weird, but e-bike safety is a really big issue over here. Kids are riding around in e-bikes and getting crashed into and crashing into stuff, flying all over the place. Like, past month, I saw two kids with my own eyes get hit on e-bikes. And that's just getting hit. That's not even talking about the crazy wheelies going against oncoming traffic and stuff like that. Just two kids getting hit. And, you know, I've been working with big companies like Super 73 to, they're like the face of the e-bike industry, to go, and they're in Irvine, to go over safety certification courses that are free to the community, with incentives to get the parents, because they're the usual ones that are buying the bikes, to get their kids to get certified and themselves so that they can be safer on the road. And I want to get the city involved. I want to get the police involved. I want to get everybody involved so that we don't force people to do things, but we incentivize people to do things for the greater good. And if we can get them a discount, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, well, those are the incentives, you know? So, no, that's really good. Can I ask you, what was the motivation behind making a decision to run for mayor for public office? Was there something or was it an accumulation of things that happened around in your life that made you make that decision?
It was a short-term accumulation of events that happened recently that kind of pushed me into that thing. And, you know, I keep saying I'm obsessive about things, and I really am. If I start going down a rabbit hole, I go down that rabbit hole. When I started my tow company about 4 years ago, we started with nothing, one truck. And I went deep down a rabbit hole. We ended up working with insurance companies. We got contracts with auto manufacturers. We worked with CHP, got a contract with AAA. We went big. And tow companies aren't supposed to do that. You're supposed to get born into the industry, and they're supposed to feed you and hand feed you if you're lucky. So, you know, we dug deep, we dug hard, and we got these unattainable contracts. And we got them because we were obsessive about it. And we did what we were supposed to do, and we performed and delivered.
Work, right? You work.
Yeah, we work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why I'm able to juggle multiple businesses, run for mayor, still be an active world champion in Muay Thai, and keep my family happy for the most part. They're not too happy when I'm gone, but when I'm home, I make the best of our time together. You know, it's because I'm obsessive with everything. I'm obsessed with my family. I'm obsessed with my work, and I'm obsessed with my community.
Well, if you had to, what would you say is one major thing that maybe the city of Irvine needs to improve on, or that you want to focus on, you know, the day you become mayor, like what's your focus going to be?
You know, I believe that Irvine is a great city. Irvine is one of the best cities to live in the country. I mean, shoot, we have people in China advertising in Irvine, or advertising in China to move to Irvine. There's literally advertisements in another country to have people move to Irvine to live here. You know, we're known for having the best education, the best park systems, you know, the lowest crime rates. It's almost like a utopia over here. But that doesn't mean that it's perfect. You know, there could be some improvements. I want to I want to not only just keep Irvine great, I just want to improve it and make it better. I want to keep it awesome, keep Irvine amazing. And there's some things that are personal to me that I want to touch on. And obviously there's going to be general agendas that people address in city council meetings and stuff like that, that I'll have to tackle, which I'm fine with. But the three top things that I personally am attached to, number one is going to be public safety. So I believe in supporting our elderly community. And then I also believe in supporting our local business. Businesses are the backbones of communities. Without businesses, you know, we will have nothing. You know, outside of working a 9-to-5, your next progression and option is to start your own business. If you want to break that barrier of 6 figures, you know, to break 6 figures in a 9-to-5 is pretty hard to do. Like, one, it's already hard to get a job right now. Number two, you'll be lucky to make 40, 50 grand a year right now, which is kind of insane because I don't think you can survive on 40, 50 grand, at least in Orange County. And there's a lot of people making 40, 50 grand right now, if even. And so, you know, if they're topping out in the 6-figure mark, it's really, really hard to break that working a regular job. You got to do your own thing. And I want to push everybody to start their own business if it is in their heart and mind to do so. And I want everybody to get into politics to whatever degree to make a change. Because if they want to change something, the world of politics is where you really have to do it. To be honest, I believe to make a major impact that will last a lifetime. Even if I get e-bike policy passed in my term and that's it, that's all I accomplished, that's my big thing, I will die happy knowing that, hey, I changed some policy that affected 300,000 people and now less people get hit and die on e-bikes. You know, whatever degree I help, you know, I'm happy. Even if it's just one person, I'm big on supporting some police once again for public safety. You know, when I was running a business in Irvine, it was really, really difficult for me to operate as far as like conditional use permits. It cost a lot of money. It took a lot of time. And then there was no guarantee that I could even get it to even legally operate. And so after like $70,000, I was finally awarded a conditional use permit. And I feel like businesses can be streamlined much more efficiently. You know, instead of waiting 7 months, I feel like there's some way to get around it where I can operate maybe in half the time. 3.5 months would be better. But imagine getting a lease for a building and you are stuck in a lease for 5 years and you can't operate for 7 months. That's a business ender right there. You know, getting a sign on our building took 3 months and we couldn't pick a color and we had to have it within a size and it had to look uniform with the rest of the block. You know, I get it. Uniformity. Irvine is a master planned city and community, and I get that. But there's got to be some in between ground where we can set it up for people to succeed.
Yeah. You know, so it gets to a point where it's impeding growth or sustainability, right? I mean, it just makes it a lot more difficult with all the regulations imposed on business owners and businesses. I'm in the auto body industry, so I'm familiar, you know, with, you know, the type of business that you started up with tow trucks.
Yep, and zoning, all that fun stuff.
Yep. So, you know, I do know the challenges of all the regulations here in California. You know, you go county by county, you have to deal with the fire marshals, and, you know, the list goes on
Even getting a paint booth in your building.
Yeah,
exactly. You'll be lucky to get that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, since, you know, you said that, you know, you were dealing with insurance companies, with the tow company, I think the biggest example that we can see right now is insurance companies moving out of California, not writing new policies.
Scary.
Very scary, because I was telling Daniel is that that's the result of bad decisions by policymakers, Department of Insurance, and, you know, whoever influences, you know, those decisions. And this is the result of it. These are the consequences, is that no one wants to do business here. Now the consumers are going to suffer. You know, go try to purchase a new policy, whether it's home, auto, or whatever the case may be. I'm hearing in some cases it's doubling in prices if you're lucky that you can get it.
Yep. We are so scared to file any claim that we prefer actually to pay out of pocket, even if it's a high amount, because we don't want to risk having our policy canceled, you know, not renewed. It's that scary. We're not even scared of having our premiums raised. We're scared of losing our coverage. Yeah. It's freaking insane. Shoot, even for my personal auto policy, I'd almost rather pay out of pocket than file a claim, because I'm not worried about the premiums. I'm worried about not having coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's definitely an interesting time in our world. And, you know, I implore everybody to, if able and willing, to jump in and try to make a difference from within. It's the only way, because voting is so important. It's important because if not enough people, even for me, not enough people vote for me, I ain't going to win, and I can't make a difference from within the city. I can still make a difference outside the city seat, which I'm doing, but from within, I got to win. And to do that, I need votes. But imagine if we go past that and we have more people like me to go in that need votes to make change. And now we have an army of people trying to make a difference. That's my ultimate goal. The mayor, that would be cool if I get it. Awesome. But my ultimate goal is to get to more people to get involved in their local government in whatever capacity. Even just showing up to a city council meeting, which is like dead empty. I've attended them, and nobody shows up. And maybe because they feel like what they say doesn't care. Maybe that's why people don't vote, because they feel like their votes don't matter. So I want to change that. And I want people to understand that if you dig deep enough and you're obsessive enough, you will make a change. You will make an impact. You will make a dent, a ding, whatever. Even a slight scratch, something.
I always like saying the hardest part is getting started. Once you get started, you know, that challenge doesn't look as big or imposing anymore. You know, you start making a dent in it. And after a while, you realize, well, actually, that wasn't that hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that. It's, you know, this whole process, as crazy as it may sound, it's been really fun. I've been able to meet a lot of cool people that I would never have met otherwise. And I got to learn a new martial art, which is politics. You know, it's another discipline for me. You know, I came in with politics being just an extension of community service. And what I've learned is it's entirely different. It is not, I mean, it's community service, but it's a whole nother universe. It's a whole nother beast. And I've grown to love it, which has been really, really, really fun and fulfilling.
What is the most difficult part of it?
The difficult part of it is jumping into it, having no idea what you're doing, and trusting and relying on those that do know what they're doing to guide you in the right way. But even then, there are so many people that have so much experience, they're almost jaded, they're stuck in an old school way. And I'm really big on thinking outside of the box. Because if I follow the old school way and I go in and raise a bunch of money and I spend $500,000 on mailers and signs to people that are going to throw it away the second they see it, you know, there is a percentage of people that do still look at those mailers, but that's literally a major portion of a majority of politicians' campaigns. Like 80% of their budget goes to sending out four cards with their name on it, and they're a buck a piece. So imagine Irvine has 300,000 residents. If I don't do it right and I send out 300 pieces of mail and they're a buck a piece, that's 300 grand just for one piece. And so if I'm doing four mailers at 300,000 residents, that's $1.2 million alone for a mayor position of a city. I ain't going for governor. I ain't going for senator, nothing. I'm going for a mayor of a city. Now, granted, Irvine's a big city, right? It's a very corporate city. It's a master plan city. But imagine $1.2 million on just mailers. No staff, nothing else, no events, just straight mails, mailing stuff. It gets crazy. But it gets deeper. They have something called voter propensity, which I'm learning is strategizing who you send the mail to, who you reach out to, and all that fun stuff. But my key to victory really is, yes, you know, reaching out to the people and having the people that are undecided on which political party to choose or vote for can choose me. But the other one is getting people that usually don't vote to vote. That I believe my team believes that that's the key to real victory, is to get people that want to say something, want to make a change, but feel like their vote doesn't matter. You know, so I want to make people understand that your vote does matter. And, you know, if you can believe in that, then you can use me as the vessel to make that the proof,
you know,
the proof of concept. And that's the key, to get people that will go out on a rainy day when it's cold, inconvenient, right before their kickboxing class to go and vote or put it in the mailbox and make that extra effort for potential positive change in their local world, their community.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of voters, you know, we always talk about the low voter turnout, you know, that they're in, for example, my hometown and other counties. Do you happen to know what the voter turnout or the average voter turnout is for Irvine? Just curious.
I believe about 30% of registered voters for this last primary. So fairly low.
Yeah.
Fairly low. You know, and it's.
No, the reason I ask that is that we always want to point out is that, you know, we can't really get down on the voter turnout, because if you think about it, it is, you know, a little depressing. It's sad that a lot of people don't turn out. But, you know, the biggest point that we're trying to make is what you said right now, is just getting a certain percentage that people that don't go and vote to actually go out there. And it's going to make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Huge difference.
And I think the reason why that is because people feel like their vote doesn't matter. Whether I vote for this person or not is not going to change the outcome of whether they win or not. And so what good is it going to take? And I'm hungry. You know, we live in a world where convenience is king. And so if it's not convenient, which voting is not convenient at all, it is so not convenient.
It's so inconvenient to go out and vote.
even through the mail.
Minutes, it's like, believe me, people, it's worth it. It's worth the half an hour or, you know, however long it takes you, you know.
Yeah, my big thing is I'm an educator, right, through martial arts, and I want to educate people on the importance of having their voice heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's through voting. But if I just tell people, hey, go out and vote, no one's going to do it. You know, telling people to do things isn't the best way to do things, but educating them and making them understand why they should do things, and now it's their choice to whether they do it or not, incentivizing people, that's different. So I love building communities. And so I'm trying to build a community now, not even just in Irvine, but I build communities everywhere I go. But for this election, I do need to build the Irvine community to make them understand, it's like, hey, I'm a familiar name. I mean good. You know, I have no ill intentions. I think I'm the right guy. I believe that I'm the right guy to make a positive change in this city, you know? And so if I captivate you enough, you need to get off of your butt, turn off your phone, get off of YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, you know, delay the dinner date, delay your kickboxing class, your yoga class, your spin class, and spend 30 minutes at a voting booth, or 30 minutes to fill out that mailer and send it out. That mail-in ballot.
Yeah. I think you know, that's a good thing to focus on, because there are a lot of people that, like you said, right, feel like their vote doesn't matter. Maybe they feel outnumbered, or maybe they feel like nothing's going to change. But, you know, getting them to realize that that's exactly where they want them, right? They want them to think that it doesn't matter so that they don't show up. You know, the there is no change, and then you keep going along, and it's just the same thing. Like I said, right, the same thing over and over, and you're not getting any results. It's like they want you to not vote. You know, they want you to not show up. They want you to feel like you don't matter. But, you know, kind of going back to the point you said, but if we all get together, you know, if we become an army of people that are, you know, trying to make some real change and want to get things done, it's like, well, we got to show up. And
yeah.
You know, voting is, you know, you talk about your primaries, the general election, you know, it's every 2 years if you want to kind of space it out. So there's plenty of time also to plan ahead. You know what I mean? Kind of keep your eye on the calendar and being like, all right, you know, this November, everybody, you know, you got to get to the booth. You know, there's plenty of time. Make a plan. Do something right to help you get there. Or like Ron said, mail your, we're in California, you can mail your ballot out. You know, there's plenty of time to get that done. You know, maybe do a little bit of research on the candidates, so you know you're voting for the right person because of the actions they're gonna do, and not just the, like you said, the name that looks familiar.
Yeah, but if your name is familiar, then it definitely doesn't hurt. You know, that's why we're building that community. Marketing, right? It's all marketing. You know, they say that 90% of a victory in a political election is money raised, and so the people that I'm going against, They got a war chest. They got some crazy funders and supporters. You know, I would say they're getting north of over $500,000 to over $1 million for a mayor race. You know, which is pretty insane. I'll be lucky to break $250,000. You know, which is I believe is plenty, because we're gonna work very efficiently with it. We're not gonna be wasteful. You know, luckily I have people on my team that are very good at finance.
We need in California. We need efficient, less wasteful.
Yeah, you know, like I don't want to win this with $1.2 million. I want to win this with like 200 grand. And considering there's, if we spend less than a dollar per resident, I think that's a pretty good budget. You know, sure. Even at a dollar per resident, and we budget $300,000. So we invest $1 per resident in Irvine. You know, I think that's a pretty good budget. And dude, imagine how crazy it would be, you know, when they go, hey, Ron is elected the new mayor. He utilized $1 per citizen, actually making change, and voter turnout was not even 30%. It was 40%. Yeah. Crazy. You know, even 10% more people would be insane. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's we could easily say it's not that hard, but it's just like vegetables. Everybody should eat their vegetables. Everybody should drink water. But how many people drink enough water? How many people eat enough vegetables? Everybody should vote, but how many people actually do vote? I would say the same as eating vegetables and drinking water. 30%. 30%.
You know, and we've talked about it in the podcast too, is that with more people talking about it, and if, you know, you are influential and you are a mentor yourself, which I believe you are, and you make it cool, you know, it'll have a trickle effect. You know, other people will start talking about it and everything. We always talk about how people can have, you know, stats for football, basketball, you know, whatever sport you like, and you can, you know, they just roll off the tongue. Is that we have to make local elections the same way we have to make them cool, talk about them, make them important, just as important as, you know, knowing how many receptions, you know, wide receiver has or running yards or running back has or anything like that.
You know, outside of policy, one of the goals I have, you know, when we win Irvine is I want to make politics fun. I want city council meetings to be a party. I want people to want to show up. You know, we'll start with something simple. Provide drinks, provide pizza, you know, play some music, make it fun. Because the ones I go at are so stagnant and boring. Now, I get there's some serious issues that we need to talk about, but at least for the public section where people get to speak freely in their minds, I want everybody to speak their mind, even if I don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the more people that we have engaged, the better. You know, everybody's all about social media engagement. I'm all about social engagement. Let's have people engage. And I want to get everybody here first, and then I want to reel them in through here. And so once I get you here, that's how I'm going to get you to vote. I'm going to captivate you so much in your heart that you are determined. You have no choice but to have to go out and do something. You're just moved so hard, and that's our key to victory. You know, moving people so much that they have to go and vote. Not that they should or they want to, they have to. But I'm not forcing them. It's because we've touched their heart so, so heavily.
And you know what? Like listening to or going to a city council meeting, you learn a lot there too. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot about, you know, each of the representatives there, kind of what, you know, what they're pushing, what they're trying to get past. Just in general, you'll get a whole feel of like the direction they're trying to make the city go into. And that right there too gives you insight as far as like, okay, you know, which one of these is my representative, you know, in the district I'm in. And then you get to kind of see, okay, is this person doing, you know, good by the people, or is this kind of person just going along party lines? Because we get that on both sides, right? People that just go party lines and they don't really focus too much on the people. So, you know, attending a city council meeting, or even sometimes they stream them online. If you want to do it that way too, just tune into one and just kind of hear them out. And then, like I said, you see a lot of what they're trying to do and whether or not you're on board with that or not. You know, it's very insightful.
Yeah, definitely. It's a cool process, you know, and we're on the same page here. We just want to get more people involved and that's the game. You know, my biggest push is educate. Let people know that, yes, their vote matters. Yes, this is how you can help. This is what you can do. This is where you can go. This is when you can do it. You know, like even in Irvine right now, they have plans to open up a skate park. So for kids that are skaters, BMXers, rollerbladers, scooterers, if I was still skating, which actually I am, and I did attend, I would attend that meeting because I want to give my feedback on how that skate park should be designed. Even for e-bikers, they're making, they have a proposal to make an e-bike course because they're, the e-bikers cannot go on bike trails because they're too heavy and they ruin the dirt. And so they're proposing a potential e-bike like a trail or a park, which is amazing. But if you're an avid e-biker or skateboarder and you don't attend those meetings and you don't put your feedback in it, and that skate park comes out like not fun and cool and ill thought out, because every skate park prior to 2015 is not designed very well. It was designed as if someone's never skated, and it's because they never did.
It's funny. You remind me of, it's like a recent thought. You know, I was with my wife. We were somewhere driving, and then I don't know, the road was weird, and we're like, "Who the hell designed this road?"
Yeah,
and it kind of made me think of that. Like, you know, you things just pop up, and then you go like you said, right? Well, they could have done this differently, or this could have been way better. And, you know, things like that, showing up and participating in that kind of,
yeah.
If you ever went down a road or, like you say, been in a park and you're like, they could have designed this way better. It's like, that's where you can go put your input, you know?
That's where you start making a change, just right there, just letting it be known.
Yeah. It's funny.
Freaking
it's funny
road. How it works, right? and that's literally a thing. They're in, you know, the last city council meeting, They were trying to block off this road in the Great Park, which is on the outskirts of Irvine, and they had a vote on whether to block it off or not. And not a lot of people were there to fight it. So it's blocked off now.
So now it's blocked off. Now it's
like- And then you drive by, it's like, why is this thing blocked off? I was like, well, because they talked about it and nobody was against it.
Nobody showed up.
That's a great example of pointing the finger right back at ourselves and going, well, it's my fault for not being involved.
Yeah, you know, for me, I don't mind. It doesn't affect me. You know, now what are they going to do with that blocked off street is a different story, you know, whether for good or for bad, you know, but we won't dig deeper into that. Because that's a very specific thing. But yeah, man, that's the game. The election is in November of this year. I'm not even allowed to file until July. And the deadline is August. But right now I'm just connecting with communities, organizations, people that want to give advice, help connect me with others. Fundraising right now, all that fun stuff. Money does matter because I'm funding out of my pocket, but I'm hoping other people will believe in me too and also fund it so that we have a bigger war chest. Because I mean, at the end of the day, whether I'm running for politics or trying to sell a product or a service, it's all going to come down to marketing, you know. And our style of marketing is education, but if nobody knows I exist, it doesn't matter how genuine I am and how effective I can be. Because if you don't know I exist and if you don't know I'm running, you ain't going to vote for me. And so 90% of this game, I won't say is money. I would say it's marketing.
People... And then, you know, the word of mouth also helps out too. You know, when people, you know, if people in Irvine see, you know, your platform and what you're running on and, you know, what you're trying to do and they like it, it's like they got to spread the word, you know. They tell a friend, even if it's one friend, tell, you know, a ripple effect, just one person, tell them. And then maybe that person tells another person. It just keeps going and going and going. You know, same deal. It's like you have to be able to like share or, you know, speak about these candidates or people that you like so that other people can look into them. Cause yeah, if someone doesn't hear about you, it's like, how do they know when they go vote, you know, and they go, I don't know this name, you know, maybe I know he's a fighter, but you know, what is he really going to do? They might think that, right? Because they never heard anything.
Intentions are not
time to look into it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's you know, with this, it's like we're trying to help people to get to, you know, like we call it, know your candidate. Know the candidates that are on the ballot because it matters, right? It's important to know who you're gonna vote for, what little bubble you're gonna fill in there. It's important stuff, you know, and if we don't do our part and if we think that none of this matters, then we're going to keep, you know, things are going to keep getting worse or, you know, or they'll decline, you know, because we've seen a lot of great cities like San Francisco, you know, San Jose. We're from San Jose originally. And, you know, the decline of those cities is just, you go back and you see them and it's terrible, man. It's like, wow, you know, I grew up here. It has so much potential, but it's being run by the same people for many years. And it's like, you know, it's terrible. People don't want to go there. People don't go to San Francisco no more. You know, it's a great area, but with what's been going on, how do you do it?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Dude, we were planning to do a self defense workshop for the elderly community in San Francisco because there's a huge rise in elderly AAPI crimes. And when we went over the logistics, we had to hold off because it was deemed unsafe for us to go, even if we had security with us. So it got to a point where we may have needed armed security with us to host a class in public because of the danger. That's how bad it got down there. I was like, oh my goodness.
No, okay. Ron, you know what's really bad is that if you do defend yourself, at the end of it, you may be the one arrested.
Yeah.
If you defend yourself. That's how bad it is.
It's a thing now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, totally, you know, that's part of telling people vote your reality, right? Especially people in those areas. Like, hey, if you've seen that your city's gotten worse and worse, you know, it's time for a change because your reality isn't adding up. Because a lot of the politicians do is they'll tell you they're going to improve this and this and that. It's kind of like, you know, our homie Gavin Newsom. Like, he'll tell us all the money he spent on certain things. But when you go outside and look at that thing, you go, huh, you know, where'd that money go again? You know, it's like your reality isn't matching up with what they're telling you.
And, you know, I think one thing that I learned through this whole process that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, cool, if I become mayor of Irvine, awesome. But there's only so much I can do there. I can do a lot compared to what I'm doing now, but I'm still limited in what I can do because I'm in local. Whatever I can change, I can only change locally. And outside of that, all I can do is influence. Now, if I want to make state change, I need a state position. Then, even then, I can only change within the state. Now, if I want to make a bigger change for the whole country, I need to be federal. And so there's touchy issues that local cities are getting tossed on them. And it sucks because there's nothing they can really do. Like the whole Gaza issue, you know, now awareness and letting it be known is important. But as far as what the city can do, they're kind of helpless. Outside of just awareness, it's an international issue that's going to be beyond what a city can change. We can influence and make aware, but there's no actual policy that the city is going to be able to do to help the matter, you know, which is very, very unfortunate because it's outside of their jurisdiction.
Yeah. You know?
Shoot, and that's outside of the country's jurisdiction.
That's where, you know, knowing the difference in like the levels of local, federal, and all that, you know, what you could really change. Because obviously there's, you know, there's people that are, you know, they're committed to one side or the other, and they want their politicians here to do changes or you know, implement things kind of that has to do with what's going on over there. And it's like, it's tough because, like you said, it's an international thing and it's outside of our country. And it's like, how much can you really do, right, on a local level that's going to affect change over there? But, you know, some people do end up being angered and upset or take it out on their local politician when that politician probably, as much as he or she would want to, there's not much they can do on that end.
Yeah, and that subject alone is very touchy. Almost everybody will avoid it at all costs because someone's going to get mad. You know, it's unfortunate. You know,
well, I mean, if we Daily Wire let go of Candace because she was talking too much about it. You know, like you said, it's touchy, but
it's a very touchy subject. There's going to be a lot of touchy subjects coming up. I'm going to have to go on debates and stuff like that. And no one has really challenged me yet because I'm not a known contender yet until July hits and they find out. I think those that are in the industry and those within my community and, you know, those that are residually being affected by my community know what I'm doing. But I believe in the mass as a whole, I'm not there yet because I'm still very, very green. And so we're working really hard to connect. And I'm doing it guerrilla style. I'm going there and I'm knocking on doors. I'm going into buildings. I'm meeting people face to face. I believe that's going to be the key, like actually shaking the hand of a person I want to vote for me and letting them know what I'm about.
Yeah. Like you said before, that person-to-person interaction and getting your name out there. But let me ask you something is that, you know, we're talking about you know, voter turnout and the interest in local elections and stuff like that. And the way that my mind works is going back to a root cause of, you know, why something has been the way that it has been. And, you know, we have the results that we do have. Would you say that, you know, teaching the youth early on, whether it's elementary school, middle school, high school, letting them know that it's important and almost letting them know that it's a sense of responsibility as an adult to go out and vote and know who your candidates are would be probably the biggest game changer in getting that type of enthusiasm about going out and voting and knowing who your candidates are?
I believe that's very, very important. Education. Now there's what we want and then there's the reality of the matter, right? And, you know, I think a lot of people believe that it's like, hey, if I vote for this, this should happen right now. But everything takes so long, so long for actual change. And it's unfortunate because it's the system that we have in place. You know, but I believe education is important, you know. And as far as civic duty goes, the extent of civic duty since I was a child has been you should read jury duty. And that was about it. Outside of like, remember back in the day when they had all the pop stars like Jessica Simpson and Puff Daddy go, hey, you should vote. You should vote. It was all over the TV. And and funny enough, I think there was an uptick in voter turnout when they did it. It wasn't massive, but it got more people to vote. It worked. But they dumped so much money into getting pop stars to promote voting. You know, and that was the only notable push I saw to push my generation to go and vote. Outside of that, nothing. You know, now it's like you get a sticker. Cool. Yeah. You know, that's the incentive. If you vote, you get a sticker that says I voted.
Yeah. But I think it's, you know, going back to, you know, the point that I was trying to make is just, you know, put it in part of the curriculum in school, you know, early on, all the way, you know, until you finish your, you know, if you're going to public school or private school up into, you know, 12th grade or whatever it may be. It's just, you know, letting the youth know that they, you know, have a great sense of responsibility once they become adults. And that they should expect for themselves to go out there and be a part of that community that goes out and votes, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think it needs to be abrasive and ongoing, even just one day out of the year, one day out of the school year where they come in and just give you a crash course and, hey, this is why you vote. I mean, they teach you the judicial branch, you know, but that's but they never go, but you should vote unless you're in poli-sci. But,
yeah.
But even just a one-day course, just like when you have a police officer come in for DARE, right? One day to teach you to not do drugs. They should, I think it'd be really cool to have somebody come in one day and teach you is like, hey, this is what voting does and this is why you should do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the more informed the more informed they are, you know, the more effective the change will be.
Yeah. The more data that you have, the better informed decision you can make.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I guess the, you know, not putting that, what's the word that I'm looking for? A sense of urgency behind it. It doesn't become forefront for people as they're growing up. And that kind of has to do with, you know, paying attention to what the curriculum is and what they're teaching our kids at school is like, you know, we have to pay attention to that. I always tell the story about it. Yeah. I always tell the story when I was talking to a peer of mine, I think I was around 23, 24, and I got started young with kids and he did too. And he told me that, he just went to work and brought the money and that the kids went to school and they taught them what they needed to learn. And that was their responsibility, the school, the educational system. And that's kind of like what I'm going back to, you know, root cause of some of the issues that we have now.
Yeah. I mean, we put it on the teachers. For me, I believe in having a coach, a teacher for everything. You know, as a martial artist, my kid does jiu-jitsu, but I don't teach him. I leave it to a professional. I drop my kid off at the school and I trust that they are teaching him everything that he needs to do for discipline, for respect, for self-defense, all that fun stuff. Not only, but it'll be a supplement to the values that we have at home and the structure that we have at home. But I do believe, so the education system is very, very important, but our values and our core beliefs start at home. You know, our kids are a reflection of us. I truly believe that. And so I believe it starts in the home, and education should be a supplement to what they learn at home. Now, obviously I'm not going to teach them calculus, but that's just a general school subject, right? I want to teach them life lessons. I want to teach them values, beliefs, things like that. And now the scholastic stuff, the, what do they call it? At my old college, they call it the capstones, general education, that I leave up to the school. And I trust that they teach them where Africa is, where Europe is, what year we signed the Declaration of Independence. But I need to make sure that my kid knows the difference between right and wrong, and what he should believe in and what he shouldn't believe in, at least from my standpoint. And as he gets older, obviously, he'll form his own opinions and beliefs. But I at least want to give him his core beliefs and values at home.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what a lot of, you know, parents want, right? They want the school to just, hey, you know, teach my child the subjects, the general education subjects, and do that. And, you know, yeah, you as a parent, you can't just kind of leave it all to a stranger, right? Now, that being said, yeah, there are good teachers, there are bad teachers, but you can't leave it all up to them. It's like, you have to do your part also. And, you know, I think right now with, you know, a lot of the stuff that's going on, people aren't so happy with, you know, the stuff that they're throwing into the schools. And, you know, it's understandable, because as a parent, it's like, you, there's certain things where it's like, why does that have so much priority? Like, why are we pushing this so hard right now? And, you know, you want your kids to go there and learn, but now there's so much, how can I put it? So many other things, right, that are thrown into the curriculum, and
that not everybody may agree with. Yes,
not everyone agrees with it, right? There's
limits. Someone put it the best, is that there's an ideology being taught rather than a curriculum. I think that's the best way to describe it.
And the thing is too, it's like, they're, for the most part, it's like it's catering to one ideology, right? Because you can't have a class in most schools. You can't have a class about God, you know what I mean? You know, you can't pray, you can't, there's certain things you can't do, because obviously not everybody is Christian, not everybody is this, there's Muslims, there's this or that, there's, everyone's different, right? In when you're talking about a school, you're talking about this country, like we said it before, America is diverse enough that we don't need to constantly be pushing that, because it already is, you know. That's what makes America, you know, awesome. It's like there's so many different people. But like, when you get to a point where you're just kind of focusing and pushing one ideology, and then you're kind of doing it to the kids, you know, a lot of people kind of, that's where they draw the line, right? And I think that's where a lot of parents are. And, you know, not to say people can't do what they want, believe what they want to believe in, but, you know, there should be certain limits, or how could I put it? It should be limited to certain things, and schools should focus on general education, pretty much, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yep, but that's, you know, that's obviously not the case anymore. And so there's two things we can do, right? We can change the system, or which, you know, that's why you put politicians in place. But we do need to understand that being in a city position and being able to change things isn't a snap of a finger. It can be, but it also ranges from a snap of a finger to picking at an iceberg and everything in between. And so some things you can do right away. Other things, especially the very controversial things, I feel is literally like chipping away at an iceberg, just little by little. But there's no way you're going to snap your finger and be like, ha ha, it's all gone. Now the education is where a majority of the people believe. And that's just the reality of the world. I mean, there's what is, how many billion people are in this planet?
I think 3 7 billion? Or 8 now, or
yeah,
on the planet.
I think 3 billion? The 3?
No, I think it's like 7.
Remind me not to run for world international leader. I don't even know our population.
you were testing me. That was a test. I passed.
You know, but you know, so there's your environment. You can either change your environment or you can adapt to your environment, right? And so while the environment is pending change that we like, we need to make sure that we adapt. And adapt doesn't mean conform and be content with it. For me, adapt means, at least in the sense of education, is to make sure my son has our values embedded in him so hard that no matter what ideologies people teach him in school, it will not change him.
Yeah.
And it starts all at home. Outside of general education, everything needs to be strong at home. My kid needs to learn respect at home. You know, I have a lot of parents that send kids to me to teach their kids discipline, but I can't teach it to them. I can only supplement their discipline. If they're not getting that discipline at home, I can only put a Band-Aid on it. I can only give them discipline while I'm there. What happens when I'm not there? You know, the same thing with my kid. I can teach him all I can at home, but once he's out of here, out of my sight, anything's coming at him. I don't know what's coming at him, physically, spiritually, vocally, mentally. I have no idea. So the best I can do is prepare him with the right armor and the right tools to make sure that he believes the right things and makes the right decisions when I'm not around.
Yeah, 100%.
Until the system changes.
Well, you know, we say this all the time, is that we are the biggest influence in our family's lives, period. And and we have to remain, you know, being that influence also. If we relinquish that, you know, who's going to take over?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Our kids are the future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me when, and I guess it shows my age, but I don't think I'm that old. I'm in my late 30s. It reminds me when there was the whole thing around Eminem and everybody was getting mad because all their kids were saying curse words and talking about weird stuff. When he came back and pretty much says, like, hey, I put out this weird stuff, but it's not for them. If they listen to it, who's letting them listen to it? And, you know, why am I the one influencing them, not you? You know, so it's not to pass blame, but that's available. And for us to regulate and restrict that, which I think they did a little bit, it takes some time. You know, so what do we do in the interim? We've got to make sure we secure that control at home, because you'll be exposed to anything as soon as he or she leaves.
You just reminded me, I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 46, but I remember when I was driving and the kids were small, and Bruno Mars song came on, right? And it was just the radio, and it had a good beat, and the lyrics were nice, and the chorus came in. And then I was like, what is he saying? And then he goes, my sex takes you to paradise. And I was like, damn, I can't even listen to this.
And it's catchy. Anymore. My sex takes you to paradise.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the adjustment that, you know, you're talking about, you know?
And yeah, it's everywhere. And there's
have to be alert. You have to be listening and make the adjustment.
There's bad influences everywhere. And I believe that we were born sinful. We were born to do bad things because bad things are easy to do. You know, you're supposed to eat healthy, but we'd rather eat bad. You know, we're supposed to get 7+ hours of sleep, but we'd rather get 4. You know, we're supposed to do all these things that we know are the right things, but we end up falling to the wrong things because that's the easy thing to do. It's easy to do the wrong thing. It's really hard to do the right thing. You know, so it's important that we push our kids and give them righteous habits. So we're being attacked left and right every day, all day on the news, in our daily interactions, in the things that we see, the things that we smell. Shoot, even the air that we breathe, you know, is bad right now with this whole, it's a popular topic right now, the weather modification, the cloud seeding, right? So potentially even the air we're breathing is bad. And so we're being pulled into bad things all the time. And so we have to stay strong and develop good habits, obsessive habits to stay good. But none of us are perfect. We mess up. We do bad things. All of us do. But, you know, it's what we do about them that will make the difference. So the pursuit towards goodness, 100%. Pure goodness.
Hey, yeah, no, I agree with that. So, yeah, Ron, well, you know, we've been going for over an hour now and just, you know, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on. If you can have a one message to the people of Irvine to, you know, hey, why should I vote for Ron? You know, what would it be?
I believe that people should vote for me because I believe in making our community and our city great, if not greater than it is. And I want to keep it that way. I just want to help. I want to make a positive impact. I have the experience on how to run multiple businesses. I'm going to treat Irvine just like another business. I want it to run efficiently. I want it to be profitable. And I want the people in it to thrive and be happy and succeed. And so if you are about that, I believe that you should vote for me and let me help make it happen.
Irvine, you better be about that. <It's> like, all of us should be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that sounds,
yes, please.
That sounds like, yeah, who wouldn't want that, right?
Yeah, and if you don't live in Irvine, please let people in Irvine know to go vote. But don't worry, I'm gonna be super annoying when it comes to election time, because I'm gonna be reminding everybody. When you click on your Facebook and Instagram, you're gonna see my face saying, "Vote for me, vote for me."
Yeah,
man, we're gonna play the digital ad game for this campaign. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, you have to nowadays. But no, man, you know, we appreciate you coming on and chatting with us about, you know, kind of getting to know you, and your campaign and what you're doing, what drives you. So it's always good to have these. And like Danny said, it's like we get to see how genuine people are with their intentions, you know, and what they're trying to do, you know, and that they're in it for the right reason, so to speak, right? They don't have any. It's not so much that you're doing it just for self-gain. It's like, no, you want your city to improve. You know, Irvine could be real good right now, but there's nothing wrong with getting Irvine to be great or greater than what it is. So,
yeah,
you know, that's I think everybody, you know, wherever you live, that should be your goal. It's like, how do I get my city to be better, the best, yeah. You know?
Always strive for better.
Always strive for it. And don't accept it's. We can't accept mediocre anymore. You know, a lot of these cities can't accept it no more. It's
we can't. When we get comfortable, like I said before, we are. It's so easy to do comfortable things, because most of the things are bad for us. Bad mm-hmm. things for us are so easy. Drink, smoke, do nothing, relax, chill out. Mm-hmm. Nah, dude, we need to get stuff done. And the yeah. more stuff we get done, the better our world's gonna be.
For sure, I agree with that 100%.
Get obsessive.
Yeah. Yes. About good things.
Yes. About good things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Ron, you know, thank you for coming on, man. Again, we appreciate it. And like I said, if I'm ever down in Irvine, I'm going to hit you up, you know?
Yes. Please. All day long. I could do this all day long. I love anything and everything fighting fitness and wellness. Anytime you're in town, stop by. If you want to find more information on me or my campaign, you can go to skullsdangformayor.com, and then you'll find everything from there. Or just type in my last name. You'll find either my political stuff or my fights. But I will fight for Irvine. That's one of my slogans. Fighting for Irvine.
You know, one more thing before we go. It's like we talk about it before, and then we even have like the other series we do is the fighter series.
And it's like, snap.
People need to have a fighter spirit, you know. They can't, you can't sit back no more. There are certain times where you're just like, all right, nobody else is going to do it. I'm going to do it. And that's the fighter spirit, not giving up easily. And, you know, waving a white flag, things don't go your way. And just, you know, basically giving up. Like, that's not what we're pushing. We're pushing, you know, get up, time to fight, time to go. You know, not physically fight, but you can fight with your vote, your voice, and fighting, you know, spirit. Make the changes. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta fight for what you want. You gotta fight for what you believe in. Because if you don't, you're gonna lose it all. You're gonna lose it all. If you don't fight mm-hmm. for what you want and believe in, you will not have the opportunity to get it, or you're gonna lose it. It's gonna be taken from you, literally. Yeah. And that's happening in every scenario right now in the world. If you're not fighting for what you believe in, you're gonna lose it. So I appreciate everybody fighting, regardless of the stance or the agenda that you have, whatnot. Whatever you believe in, fight for it. Even if it's the wrong thing and I don't believe in it, fight for it, because it's what you believe in and you think it's right. I don't, everything that I think is right is not right. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be proven wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just a person.
No, 100%, man. Well, thanks, man. And you know, hopefully we get to have you on again before the election and see how everything's going. And
yes,
like I said, we'll run into you in Irvine one day, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, please come visit. whatever you want. Cryotherapy, you want to get towed, you want me to hold pads for you, you want to spar, whatever. You want fish, I got a fish store too. All kinds of random stuff.
All right, cool. Yeah, definitely. We'll hit you up.
All righty, guys. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, everybody else, for tuning in. Hope everybody has a great night or day or afternoon, wherever you may be.
All right, thank you.
And please vote for me.
Yeah, vote for Ron, everybody. We'll catch you next time, Ron.
All right, later, guys.
Later. Cool, man. That was good. Yeah, man, he's literally a fighter, right? And and he's fighting for his city. Like, what more could you ask for, right? For someone that's trying to represent you. So, that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's nice to see someone that has experience in running a business, because being mayor, running a city, being in charge of it, being the leader, you have to be able to delegate, manage, to his words, be profitable,
Mm-hmm.
And that experience does matter. It does count. I would venture to say more than a career politician, because things change over time. There's policies mm-hmm. that are written that, instead of helping small businesses or, the community at all, are actually making it harder for the businesses in the community. So mm-hmm. it's good for fresh new blood to get in there and have a different perspective and vision, game plan, if you will.
Mm-hmm. To your point, it's like, as a business owner, it's like they have to adapt to all the policies that get put in place that, for the most part, doesn't even affect a lot of these politicians. So they have to know how to navigate all that, all these policies that get added.
Yeah, well, think about it this way, is that independent business owners, right?
Mm-hmm.
The type of assistance that they get compared to, a city organization, or even federal, they're getting some sort of funding support from someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not building it on their own, literally ground up, grassroots type of style. And business owners, for the most part, that's exactly what they have to do. There's no bailout for them. There's no, mm-hmm. Money tree in the backyard, that comes from, tax dollars or anything like that. It's like the real deal. It's either you're gonna make it or mm-hmm. you're gonna fail. So yeah. Those people cut their teeth with that type of experience. I mean, what more would you want? someone that is successful that way.
Yeah, no, and like you said, he's got a lot of businesses, so he's, like you said, he's dedicated, right? So I'm sure once he's in there, if he becomes the mayor of Irvine, I'm pretty sure he's going to have that same dedication, that same drive to, as he put it in his own words, make Irvine greater than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
And just imagine the politicians, and for the record, we do agree with them. There's a lot of good politicians out there with, good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they're the minority. In my opinion. And imagine if, the people that are supposed to represent us put that effort and sense of urgency on a daily basis that it seems like he puts into it. Mm-hmm. We talk about incremental changes, in small increments. But think about it, if, there was someone with real passion, sense of urgency, and determination to get stuff done, I think that incremental change would actually double or triple, and mm-hmm. it would be a lot more visible in a shorter period of time. That's just my take. Because when someone's like that, they influence other people around them. And it's not necessarily what you get done. It's what you influence, and then other people start doing around you too.
Mm-hmm. And then you start seeing the results of it too, which make it, you know, in a sense, easier to be influenced. And oh, look, you know, look what he's doing. So yeah, man, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that was a good episode. You know, thanks to everybody that tuned in. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Christian. Hope you're watching. everybody, have a happy Easter. Enjoy the time with your family. Hopefully you guys, you know, are planning something, and just, you know, wish you nothing but God's blessings to everybody, you know, tuning in and watching or listening on audio. So thank you all, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter. Be with you.